morning, we're going to finish off what we've been talking about this last few weeks, is that there is more. And if you've heard nothing so far, you haven't been here in the last 3 weeks, it's fine, we've saved the best to last. And if you have, then bear with us, because we've saved the best to last. There is more. And of course, we could have continued on talking about this topic for months, for years, right back to Jesus comes, because there's always more. There's always more in the kingdom of God. There's always more that he wants to do, no matter what trial you find yourself. We talked about endurance last week. No matter what way you find yourself, no matter what trial you go through, you know that the Lord is with you. Even when you don't feel it, you know that he is there. Even when you don't understand it, you know that he is there, because he is not a liar. His word is true. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're in me, then I am in you. You're connected to me. We are together. We are one. It's a symbolism of marriage. You and Christ are one. If you're in Christ, then you're together, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, it's true. Sometimes we forget about him, but this morning I want to encourage you, there is more. And what we're going to finish off with today is thinking about the Holy Spirit. And here's the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is everything. He is everything. He is my best friend. He's the one that I talk to all the time. He loves to hear from me. I love to hear from him. He has transformed me. He has changed me. And I want to encourage you this morning, the Holy Spirit is the person that we need. If you remember back to whenever you got saved, it was the Holy Spirit that convicted you of your sins. If you remember back to the New Testament, it was the Holy Spirit that took Jesus off the cross. It was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. But the Bible tells us that the same Spirit that did that is the same Spirit that's available to us. And when we get saved, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit, he's inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and we're saved. It's like we become a new creation. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. But the Bible talks about how there's even more there. And that's why we want to talk about this morning. When you get saved, there is more. When you get saved, we're going to do a water baptism in a few weeks' time. There's more. When we get saved, Jesus says, once you get saved, then follow my command into water baptism. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. But Jesus also says there's more in the Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. And not only does he want to be inside you, but he wants to be completely through you. He wants to flood you. He wants to be your best friend in your life. And this morning I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage your heart, because the Holy Spirit wants to know you this morning, and the Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. And for me, I'm going to share a bit of personal testimony to encourage your heart. And the Holy Spirit's one of these guys that we can, just matter of fact, the Holy Spirit's a person. He's not an it. I want to encourage you in that. He's not a power. He is a person. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. He is wonderful, and he is here this morning. But the Holy Spirit has transformed my life. And it's weird, and this is the thing that really gets my heart, and sometimes what I really pray about and I really seek God about, is that there are so many Christians that know the Father and know the Son, but they have no awareness of the Holy Spirit. And yet without him, we can do nothing, because he is our strength, he is our light, he is our guide, he's the one that we need. The Holy Spirit is the person that we need in our lives every day. He is our best friend. And this morning, through personal testimony, I want to encourage you, and I want to show you that you need him. And if you don't know him, then invite him into your life. If you've never invited him into your life in the sense of ask him to come and fill you, ask him to come and baptize you, then I want to encourage you, that is what you need in your life. And as we go on a journey this morning, I believe it's going to make you hungry for more of the things of God. I believe it's going to make you hungry for the Holy Spirit. And by the end of it, we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon anyone who wants him, for a fresh filling or a new filling, or for you to know him in a way that you've never known him before. Can I encourage you this morning? I love the Holy Spirit. I just absolutely love him. He has transformed my life. Let me tell you, if you'd have met me when I was late teens, early 20s, you would have met a person not like today, because the Holy Spirit was taking me on a journey. And I remember when I was like 15, 16, 17, and I could see all these wonderful men and women of God, and I thought, Lord, I'm saved, I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm worshiping, I'm doing all the things I know I'm supposed to do, but Lord, what have they got that I don't have? There seems to be more. And I remember time after time, people would say to me, there's more. I was like, what's the more, Lord? What's the more? And they would say, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit active and alive in your heart. You need to know the Holy Spirit. He needs to overflow you. The Bible talks about there's this trickle that's in you. There's like these streams inside of you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you get saved. There's these streams. But then when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, then the streams turn to rivers, and suddenly he just starts to move in incredible ways in your life. And I thought, that's what I need, Lord. Because I feel like I'm saved. I know that I'm saved, but I'm reading and I'm praying, and sometimes it just feels hard, and sometimes it feels empty, and sometimes it feels dry. So Lord, there's got to be more. And of course there was more, because in God there's always more. And this morning, if you're here and you're a Christian, maybe you're a Spirit-filled Christian this morning, then you know there's more. You've already had some more, but you know there's even more. But if you're here this morning, you're just a Christian, you're not Spirit-filled yet, you don't know the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness, then I've got good news for you. There is more, and you should get excited. And so when I was back 15, 16, 17, I said to the Lord, I need more of what you have. And I sought him, and I was hungry for him. And you know what? I had this one encounter one time, which radically transformed my life. And let me just encourage you. Sometimes you've seen people that get filled with the Spirit, and then just in that moment, it's almost like they just fall over. And you're like, wow, I don't know if I want that, because that just feels a bit weird, or that's just not me. Can I encourage you with this? Let me just give you a simple explanation of what that could be. I'm not saying it always is, but what it could be. What I have found is that when the Holy Spirit overwhelms you sometimes, and when the Lord overwhelms you sometimes, you just become powerless. You're just like, wow. And you suddenly, it's almost like, you know, you're just near him and you become powerless. And in that moment, it's just like, wow, you either just want to sit down and rest. You go into incredible peace and you just feel incredible peace. Or you find yourself lying on the floor going, how did I get here, Lord? How did I get here? But because of his goodness and because of his power, he just overwhelms you. And before you know it, you find yourself on the floor. That was me one night down in Hillsborough Bible Week. And I thought to myself, I'm never going to be one of those guys, Lord. I thought to myself, I'm going to be the one that stands there. I'm going to keep standing, and you're never going to push me over because that's not my personality. I'm not flaky. I'm not this. I'm not that. I was thinking all those things. Ever think that? I was like, I'm not going to be that, Lord. And then I remember the person began to pray, and somebody came and prayed for me. And before I knew it, I was on the floor. I couldn't even try. I couldn't even try to stand up. It was the goodness of God. He just overwhelmed me. He just overwhelmed me. And then I spent some minutes there just on the floor, just resting in his goodness. And when I got up from that floor, here's what I felt. I felt something that changed inside of me. I'm not saying that everything was different from that point forward in the sense of I just walked on clouds from then on, or I just had goosebumps forevermore. It wasn't like that. But something, I knew something had changed. You know when you just know a switch had been flicked? You just know that something has changed inside of you and things are going to be different. And that was it. And then I started to pray. And I started to find myself that I was like, God, I feel like I've got this new heavenly prayer language. We believe in tongues, by the way. Totally believe in tongues. It's just radical. It's powerful. It's what we need. We're going to explain it a tiny bit more in a moment. And I started to pray in this heavenly prayer language. And I started to pray. And I started to hear God speak to me. I started to feel strengthened. Started to feel encouraged. And before you knew it, my life was transforming. And I'd stepped into the more that God had called me to. And that's what he invites you into this morning. If you're hungry for more, he's got more. If you're feeling a bit weary, if you're feeling drained and you don't know the Holy Spirit, then he invites you. If you've known the Holy Spirit but you haven't been filled up in a long time, he invites you to get refilled. It's a bit like our car. Our car can't go for very long if we drive it a lot. It has to get refilled over and over and over again. And isn't it just like God that salvation would be once? But he says, I've got even more for you. And the Holy Spirit comes to fill us over and over and over again. There are no limits to what he wants to do. And it's not just for our benefit, it's to be a blessing to everybody else. When I was 18, 19, I wanted to go for God, but I felt so restricted by fear and nerves and worries and anxieties and all these different things. And I wanted to be in the forefront, but all I wanted to do was to live in the shadows. You ever feel like that? You feel like I'm in the shadows and I want to be here, Lord, because I want to serve you. I want to go for you, but I don't know what to do, Lord. The Holy Spirit changed my life. The Holy Spirit wants to change your life. I simply started to walk with him. I started to talk to him. I read this book, It Transformed My Life. It's called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. It radically transformed me. I was like, wow, I can get up and speak to the Holy Spirit. And before you get discouraged, I want to tell you this. The Holy Spirit only ever talks about Jesus. He only ever talks about Jesus. So it's fine. You can talk to him. He'll never take away from Jesus. He'll never detract from Jesus. He'll never pull you away from Jesus. All he wants to do is draw you to Jesus. And the more that I spoke to him, the more that he would tell me about Jesus. The more that he would show me how to be like Jesus. The more that he would transform me. The more he would remind me of the new character, of the new identity that I had, that the fear, the worries, the nerves, that they were lies, that was no longer who I was because I was a new creation in Christ. And as I would surrender and yield my life and submit my life to him, the Holy Spirit would start to walk with me and he would transform me. And I went from a person that wanted to sing on the stage and wanted to lead worship and could never do it to a person that actually did it. And then the moment that was over, I felt sick and I felt like, oh my goodness, they're going to ask me again. What am I going to do next time? But week after week, he would encourage me. Week after week, I would pour my heart out to the Holy Spirit and he would make me come alive and he would transform me. He takes me on a wonderful journey. Does anybody get a picture of what the Holy Spirit is like? Does anybody think he sounds a bit like Jesus? That's exactly his whole heart. In the same way as the 12 disciples were able to spend time with Jesus, this is the job of the Holy Spirit here today. There are no limits with him. He wants to be with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to tell us about the things of God. He wants to transform us in every way. And he has done that for me, and I encourage you, he will do that for you. So come on, let's look at some things this morning. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Can we look at this verse together? Is what it says. This is the God's plan. This is the goodness of God. This is what he has always planned. This is what he's always intended. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this because Jesus is full of grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be with us. May the love of God, let it be with you all. But notice what it says about the Holy Spirit. Let the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. You see, the Holy Spirit this morning is not just here for our power. He's not just here to empower us. He's not just here to build us up. He's here for our fellowship. Because Jesus, we know, is grace and salvation. The love of the Father, we get that because we want God's love. We understand he's a good, good Father. He pours out his love. We think about the prodigal son and we say to ourselves, wow, what a wonderful picture of our dads. What a wonderful picture of our heavenly fathers, that even when we make mistakes, even when we're in sin, he embraces us. He invites us back because of his love. But notice the descriptive word that Paul uses for the Holy Spirit. And I believe this is one that we miss out and forget about all of the time. He says, I don't want you to know the Holy Spirit just in power. I don't want to know you to know the Holy Spirit just in terms of guidance and wisdom. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit in fellowship. When was the last time that we were in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Because this is God's heart. This was God's plan. That we would know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this the case? It's really simple. Because the Father is seated on the throne. He's in heaven. He's just not with us. He's not here on earth. Now, we understand that the God fills the universe. But in the simple picture for us to understand, the Father is seated on the throne. Where is Jesus? Jesus is right beside the Father because his work is done. It is finished. But as Jesus went, he said, it's better that I go because there's one coming just like me. In other words, my time's up, but now it's his turn. The Holy Spirit, it's his turn. He is here on earth. And the same relationship that the disciples had with Jesus is the same relationship that God wants us to have with God, the Holy Spirit. Don't forget he's God. Don't forget that. He is God, the Holy Spirit. And for some reason, I know many reasons, but for some reason, the church has tended to forget about the Holy Spirit and is focused on the Father and the Son and has left the Holy Spirit behind. And maybe even got so far focused on the Scriptures that we've forgotten about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is what we need because look what it says. It's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Anybody need a friend this morning? Anybody need a friend like the Holy Spirit that's going to comfort you, help you, encourage you, lead you, guide you, tell you the truth, speak to you, lead you forward, reveal more of Christ to you, empower you, enable you, heal you? I'm running out of fingers because he can do all the things that Jesus could do. He is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The Father is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Father. Remember, they're three in one. It's a Trinity. It's very hard to get our heads around it, but just trust me what God says. The Father and the Son is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is here, and it's the Holy Spirit that we need. So how do I get the Holy Spirit? How do I invite him more in my life? How do I talk to him? How do I be with him? If I know suddenly that I need his fellowship, then what do I do, Lord? This is God's amazing plan. When we think back to Genesis, what was the Father's goal? What was God's goal? He said, I want to walk with man. Do you remember Adam? I just don't know how Adam, what must that have been like? As he walked with God and they talked with each other and they communed with each other. In other words, the relationship was so close. It was just best friends. They were just such good friends. And then what happened? Sin separated. But God's first plan was always to be with man, to walk with man, to be in constant communication with man, to be in constant fellowship with man. So Jesus then comes a few hundred years later. What's his plan? His plan is to defeat sin, the sin that first separated us. But while he's defeating sin, what does he do? He does what God always wants to do, and that's create relationships and live close to man. And so he takes 12 disciples, and he spends time with them. He empowers them. He loves them. They eat together. They stay together. They walk together. They work together. They do everything together. They are inseparable. They are new lovers that have just found each other like a new married couple or new people that have just got together. They just don't want to ever be apart. They just don't ever want to be apart. And even, do you remember Jesus in the garden? He said when they fell asleep, he's like, you couldn't even stay awake with me. He just wanted constant fellowship all of the time. Because remember, this is God's heart and this has always been his plan. So Jesus defeats sin. And then he says, but there's still a problem. there's still a problem because I cannot be with you all at one time because I'm a man. I had to come as a man to defeat the first man's mistake, which is Adam. And so I had to come as a man. So I've got another plan. The Holy Spirit's going to come. Because do you remember what Jesus' big problem was? He kept running out of energy. His emotions didn't allow him to continue to keep going. He had to sleep at night. He had to spend time with his father. People wore him out. He had to get in boats and get away from people because people just wanted more and more of him because he was just so great. His love was so contagious. And then he says, but don't worry, guys. There is one coming. What he basically was saying was, there's one coming better than me. And he's the Holy Spirit. He is the one that you need. It is better that I go. It is to your advantage that I go. Because if I do not go, then the Holy Spirit cannot come. What have we done with the Holy Spirit this morning? The Holy Spirit is the one that we need. We need his fellowship. What is our fellowship levels like with the Holy Spirit? What are we doing with him? Are we inviting him? Are we talking to him? Are we communing with him? That is what God wants us to do. Can we read Acts chapter 19? I want to encourage your heart with some scripture this morning. This is a great story. We're going to read it together. You can save it on your phone if you need to. But this is really important because it shows a separation from salvation and being filled with the Spirit. There's a difference. There's something more, that God has more for us and there is more available. Acts chapter 19 says, while Apollos, he was just one of the early disciples, was at Corinth, just a place in the Bible, Paul took the road. Paul was that amazing guy who wrote most of the New Testament. Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. He went to a new place, a new town. There he finds some disciples. Note disciples. Now they're disciples of Jesus. This is why he's referred as disciples, because he wants the reader to know these guys are born again. They're saved. They know Jesus. They're disciples. And he asked them, did you receive? Interesting question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is the question he asked them. You're thinking to yourself, why do you ask this question? Because you get the Holy Spirit the moment that you're saved. But there must be something more that Paul's trying to show us that we need to know this morning, and it's good news for us because we know there must be more, because sometimes when we sing and we worship and we read, it feels like it's not enough. And then we read more and we pray more and we worship more and we sing more and we feel it's just not enough. It just feels like there's something more. And there is. There's the Holy Spirit. So we ask the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning, you think to yourself, I didn't even know there was more in the Holy Spirit. That's fine. You're going to hear about it this morning, and then you're going to get an opportunity to receive it. But there is more. Don't make any mistake in that. It says, no, we've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. So Paul asks and says, then what baptism did you receive? They said, John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Let's just think about this for a moment, just to set the context and to set the scene. Before Jesus came, there was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the person before Jesus. His job was to say, there's one coming like me, but he's better than me. He's coming and he's going to take away your sins. He's coming to save you. My job is to call you to repentance, so when Jesus comes, you're ready to receive him. So John was always lived a life like this. It's not about me, it's all about him. It's not about me, it's all about him. Get your hearts ready. Get your lives ready. Jesus is coming. And then there's this amazing part in the early part of the Gospels, John chapter 3, or Matthew chapter 3, I think it is, where Jesus meets John for the first time. And John says, are you the one that I've been waiting for? And Jesus says, I'm the one. And then John gets all overcome and he says, oh my goodness, I couldn't baptize you, because John was baptizing people. He says, I couldn't baptize you. I wouldn't even be worthy enough to tie your sandals. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. You must baptize me. This is the way it works. And as you baptize me, you're going to transfer over to me. It's going to be like almost like passing of the baton. And when I get it, then I'm going to go on and I'm going to do all the things that I've got to do. And if you remember the story, John baptizes Jesus. He goes down and he comes back up again. And baptism is a beautiful picture of salvation, isn't it? As we go down into the waters, what does that symbolize? Death. As we go down into the water, it symbolizes death. As we come back, what does it symbolize? Resurrection. Exactly what Jesus did. He went down into the pits of death. He went down into the pits of hell. He won the keys of life. He came back up again. The stone was rolled away, and now he stands victorious. And as we go through the waters of baptism, what are we saying to the world? We're saying, we are followers of Jesus. We are following the commands of Jesus. We are following in the footsteps of John and Jesus, and we're getting baptized because we want to follow in their steps, and we want to tell the world, we belong to Jesus. And so John the Baptist was all about repentance. But then it says there's more. He says John the Baptist was a baptism of repentance, but he said he told the people to believe in the one coming after him. Because remember, Jesus, John the Baptist said, it's not all about me, it's about the next guy that comes. It's about Jesus. That is in Jesus. Then verse 5, the guys realize it straight away. They goes, oh my goodness, there's more. It says, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. Don't you just love the numbers in the Bible? What does the 12 make you think about? It makes you think about the 12 disciples. Jesus spent time with the 12 disciples, and now the Bible is trying to encourage us, just like the 12 disciples spent time with Jesus, now this is your time to spend time with Jesus. You know you can't because he's in heaven, but the Holy Spirit's just as good. The Holy Spirit's the same as him. The Holy Spirit wants to be with you. The Holy Spirit wants to baptize you. And as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, suddenly it's like as if we've got Jesus with us. Suddenly it's as if we were back in the day with the 12. We're filled. We're flooded. We're overwhelmed. We something changes inside of us. And suddenly that more, we start to realize it. And as we go for him, he fills us more and more and more. And suddenly things start to change inside of our lives. Maybe fear starts to disappear. Dread starts to disappear. Anxiety starts to disappear. Suddenly you start to hear words from God. You start to prophesy. Prophecy is simply hearing from God. He speaks into your life, and it's maybe for somebody else or maybe it's for yourself. But prophecy is hearing from God and then giving it away. And in all intents and purposes, it's encouragement. But when God's added to it, it's a word from God. And suddenly that encouragement transforms people's lives. This is who we can be. Imagine that. We were once dead, stinking sinners, lost in our iniquities, had no hope. Now we can ask Jesus into our lives. We can get baptized in water, and we can get baptized in the Spirit. And suddenly we can be Spirit-filled Christians that speak in tongues and prophesy and do all the other great things that the Word tells us about. This is true today. This is true for us today. And God hasn't finished it yet. It has not stopped yet. It will only stop when we get to heaven, because then we'll be with Jesus and we'll have no need for anything else because we'll be with him forever. But if you know in your heart that there's more, and you know in your heart that you need more, and you know in your heart that's like, wow, reading and praying and all that stuff is great, but I always keep feeling that there's more, Lord, then the Holy Spirit is there to enable you. And speaking in tongues, we're going to share about it in just a moment, so I'll not get sidetracked on it right now. But here's the huge mistake that we make over and over and over again, and we've been doing it from time began. We think just like Eve, wow, we've got God. We walk with him. We know him. Then the old serpent comes to Eve, and she says, but could you not be God yourself? In other words, would God not want you to be like him? And she was like, yeah, sure he would. Why wouldn't he? So why don't you go and eat of that tree, and you could be just like God? But of course, it wasn't God's plan. God's plan is that we would fellowship with him, that he would be God, that we would be us, and that together we would do great things for the kingdom of God. But always, all through history, even to today, what we really sometimes fall into the trap of is, oh, I've got God now, so I'll go on about my business. You know, I've got saved, so I'll just get back to business. You know, I've got saved, I kind of know things now, I'll just get on with it. It's back to me now. You know, it's back to my own strength. And I'm sure you figured it out by now, but your own strength doesn't work for very long, because your own strength just gets hard and exhausting, and it's just too difficult, and you wind up saying to yourself, I don't even know if this Christian thing's for me. I don't even know if this God thing works anymore. And of course, what we're missing out on is a life with Jesus. It's a life in constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit, where he's constantly working with us, helping us, enabling us, encouraging us, walking with us. It's just like we were like with Jesus back in the day, 12 disciples. This is what we need, church. Without this, we will never fulfill all the plans and the destiny that God's got for us. It just becomes too hard. It just becomes too difficult. We start doing our own strength. We start trying to make things work when they shouldn't work like that. What we need is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We've got the grace of Jesus. We know that because of salvation. We've got the love of the Father, and that's a journey that we're going on. But who makes it work in all of the background? Who makes it work in our hearts? Who makes it work in our lives? Who wants to speak to us all of the time? It is the Holy Spirit. Have you forgotten about the Holy Spirit this morning? He wants to talk to you. He wants to be there with you. The devil loves it when believers get to a point of, I'm just going to do it in my strength. I'm just going to do it my way. The Holy Spirit says, come back to me. Let's talk together. Let's walk together. Let's do this thing together. Let's believe together. Let me show you all the great things that God wants to do in your life. I wrote down three quick things that stops us from knowing the Holy Spirit and getting filled with the Holy Spirit and walking after the Holy Spirit and continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe the number one is fear. Just fear, like, Lord, what would that look like? For me, for a long time, it was fear. I was like worried if the Holy Spirit turned me into Paul or made me do the crazy things that Paul did in the Bible. How would I do this, Lord? And you know what I discovered? Maybe this is something you need to remember. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus? What was the kind of description that the Bible uses? It uses the description of a dove. You see, the Holy Spirit's incredible. He's ferocious. He will defeat sin in every part. He will defeat the enemy in every way. But another picture of the Holy Spirit is this beautiful picture of a dove. And if you've ever come across a dove, they're very sensitive. They're very sensitive birds. They're very caring birds. They're just any sign of noise or anything else, they're going to fly away. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is like that? He's able to work with you. Another friend of mine said this, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's able to come around you. He's able to love you. He's able to encourage you. Remember this, he knows you better than you know yourself. So there is no fear in him. In fact, fear doesn't even exist in him because he's perfect love. He is perfect love. Remember, he's just like Jesus. The lie that I got sold and the lie that I believed for a long many years was that I was worried what he would do to me. I was worried how he would transform me. I was worried how he would change me. I was worried he'd make me one of those other weirdos that seems to have the Holy Spirit. I was like, I don't want to be like that, Lord. That was me being real. It was me being honest. And you know what I realized? Is that was all lies because the Holy Spirit works with you. He knows me. He actually made me. Can I give you that one without making your mind freak out? He made you. He made you. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Remember this. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, they're in constant communication. They have never been separated. They can never be separated. They're in constant communication. Constant. They know everything together. They know everything together. So when the Lord was back there, the Holy Spirit was there. Jesus was there. They're always there. They've always existed. They've never ceased. They never will cease. And the Holy Spirit is here this morning. He wants to draw you close. And he says, do not fear. Do not fear. Come closer to me. Let's journey together. Let's walk together. Let me grow you and encourage you and transform you. See, there are things in our lives. Here's what happens in salvation. Our spirit gets renewed, but I'm sure you figured it out. Your mind is still a way to go. Your attitudes have a bit to go. Your anger has a bit to go. Your emotions have a bit to go. The Holy Spirit does that. He helps us. He restores us. He transforms us. He calls us forward. Second one, I mentioned already, I think a second one that holds us back from the things of the Spirit is legitimately other people. We go, they're just too weird for me. I just don't want that. I couldn't cope with that. Can I encourage you with this simple truth? Is that personality in other people is a different thing than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will transform you and work with you depending on who you are. That's what he'll do. But can I encourage you with this? I was never meant to be a shy, filled with anxiety, nervous, didn't want to speak person. That was not who God made me to be. But because of sin and the pressures of life and the external forces, that's what I became. But when the Holy Spirit came upon me and the Holy Spirit started to work with me and the Holy Spirit started to talk with me and the Holy Spirit started to heal me and encourage me and love me, I started to leave all that junk behind and I started to become the person that he always intended me to be. You were not created to be the person you started out to be. God has so much more. Allow the Holy Spirit to work on your life. Don't allow somebody else's expression or experience to define you. That is not who you are. We are all unique. But don't get held back in with worry and chaos. God wants to bring you into freedom, and he is bringing me into more freedom more and more and more of the time. You know what I realized? I realized that a lot of the times I was locked up in fear and lack of freedom. When the Holy Spirit started to become more active in my life and I started to talk to the Holy Spirit, he brought me into better freedom. He's still bringing me on a journey in that. I still need so much more freedom in so many different ways. But the Holy Spirit is good. Let's read this verse together as we're getting ready to finish. John chapter 14, verse 26. We're going to read this one together. I brought it up in the Amplified because I want us to know that our English words don't do it justice on just how good the Holy Spirit is. And I'm trying to make it so good that you're not going to go out of this place without saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, reveal more of yourself to me. Here's what it says in the Amplified. It's just an amplified version of the English to try and help us to understand better. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, another name for the Holy Spirit is the Helper. Do you need a helper this morning? You need the Holy Spirit. Look at in brackets of the things that he does. He's the Comforter. Oh my goodness, the times that he has comforted me and been there for me is incredible. People are brilliant, but they're not the Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you with that. People are amazing, but they're not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you in that job interview, in that season when you're just desperate for help, when you're going through that relationship thing, when you're going through that work thing, when you're going through the seasons, the valleys, the difficult trials, the Comforter is with you. The amount of times that I've cried out to the Comforter is beyond belief. But he has held me. He has restored me. He has enabled me. He has transformed me. He is incredible. It's the reason why I love him. He's amazing. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Let me give you a new name. He's the advocate. We don't use this word a lot. We use the word lawyer or defendant. He is your defendant. Did you know this morning the Holy Spirit is your advocate? The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to stand beside you. You don't have to defend yourself. The Holy Spirit defends you. Did you know that this morning? The Holy Spirit wants to defend you, and He is your advocate. Third one, He's your intercessor. Guys, we need to know this. The Holy Spirit wants to come and be beside you because guess what He wants to do? He wants to pray for you all of the time. Intercessor is not a complicated word. You will be an intercessor if you pray for somebody else. That's all it means. Whenever you pray and you pray for somebody else other than yourself, you become an intercessor. That's it. The Holy Spirit wants to come and be so close to you that He's just praying for you all of the time. Now, the goodness of God is this, is that He's already praying for you all of the time anyway. You've got to know that. The fact that Jesus is there praying for you all of the time anyway. But the Holy Spirit wants to be active in your life so that you know this. Because here's the reality. We know that God's doing a whole load of stuff, but we need to know it in our hearts. We need to know salvation in our hearts. We need to know the Holy Spirit in our lives because it's no good for somebody else. It's no good if it's out there. It needs to come in here, and this is God's master plan. He is our advocate. He is our intercessor. He is our counselor. Do you need wisdom? You know the amount of mistakes that I've made because I've tried to use wisdom from myself and wisdom from others when what I really needed was wisdom from the Holy Spirit? I have learned the hard way. Anybody else learned the hard way? Oh my goodness. Yes. Cause more and more problems than you can believe because I went off somebody else's wisdom or my own wisdom. What do I need? I need the Holy Spirit's wisdom. Why? Because He's timeless. Because He knows everything. Because He's incredible. Because He's amazing. I need His wisdom. Do you need His wisdom this morning? The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He will wise counsel you. He'll be your strengthener. He will be your standby. The Holy Spirit. And that's just some of the things. There's multiple things. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. This is Jesus speaking. He'll send Him in my name. This is why we've got authority to have the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has given Him authority. He comes in my name, in my place, to represent me, to act on my behalf. This is it. Jesus basically saying, you can't have me because I'm fully human. I've got to go back to heaven. My time is done. I've done my thing. But don't worry. The Holy Spirit's coming. He's coming to my place, on my behalf. He represents me. He's got my authority. He's got my mandate. He's just like me. You need Him. You need Him in your life. Our Christian life and our Christian walk without the active relationship, Spirit-filled relationship of the Holy Spirit is just so not what God intended. It's just so not what His heart has been for us. He's a person. I mentioned that before. He's not an it. He's a person. He's our Helper. Let me just give you a quick, we'll do a quick Greek lesson just for a moment. He's our Parakletos. That's what Helper means there. He's our Parakletos. He's our Helper. Look that up if you want to when you go home, if you're hungry for more, to know more of the things of God. And watch how everything that He is about is to be there for you. Can I encourage you one thing this morning, guys? And this is so important to know. The Bible tells us you can't grieve the Father, you can't grieve the Son, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit's in all of our meetings. He's beside us all of the time. But you know what do you know what's happening so much of the time? We're just ignoring Him. And He's got feelings. Did you know that? He's got feelings because it's true, because you can't grieve someone that doesn't have feelings. He's got feelings. We grieve Him. And what He wants to do is to be invited into your life and say, I recognize you, Holy Spirit. I invite you, Holy Spirit. I submit to you. I yield to you. I want you, Holy Spirit. I need you. I know that there's nobody else that knows me right now. There's nobody else that can come right now. The many nights that I find myself alone in those early days thinking to myself, Lord, I need somebody. And the Holy Spirit would whisper and He would say, you've got me. You've got me. And He would whisper to me and He would encourage me. I'm getting emotional because I'm thinking of how good He is. I'm thinking of how good He is. You know what the heartbreak of the Holy Spirit is? Is that He gets forgotten about all of the time. You know what the heartbreak of the Holy Spirit is? Is that we've created theology to wipe Him out of the church today. That's the heartbreak of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And He yearns for you and He loves you. Wow. And He is so good and He is so precious. And this morning what He wants is a heart that would be yielded and would say, I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you to help me. Would you fill me? Would you flood me? Would you empower me? Would you change me? And maybe your heart is that you've got a heart that needs to repent this morning. If that's the case, do it. Do it. But the Holy Spirit is worth it. He's the person that we need. Let me read a couple more verses and then we're going to be done. I want to correct something as well. Can we do that just for one? Here's some really bad theology. I want to just correct it for a moment. The Holy Spirit gives everybody the heavenly prayer language. This is not just for some. Now, you've read that, but what has happened is you need to read deeper. If you read the word, you're going to discover very quickly there's two different types of tongues. And inside that, there's two different versions of those types. There's actually four tongues altogether. I haven't got time to go on to all of them, but if you want information, I'll send it to you. But I want to encourage you with this. Paul tells us we're to all pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit is this, is that we can all pray in tongues. We have the ability. And as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance, the Bible tells us, we will pray in tongues. Now, there are tongues for public gift. There are tongues for the church. There are tongues for the body. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that. There will be gifts. There's the nine gifts, and one of those gifts is tongues. And as you give tongues in church, then we need interpretation. Otherwise, no one understands. But there is a heavenly prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives us. Have you ever found yourself praying to God and just running out of words? It's just like you went to pray for half an hour and you prayed for 30 seconds. It was just a dried up real quick. In those moments, God has a plan because He's so good. He's so good. You see, when Jesus was here and He was with the disciples and they were running out and they weren't sure what to do next, He would talk to them. He would say, "Don't worry about it. I'm with you." But now that Jesus is not here, the Holy Spirit is here. And so He's able to talk to us and He's able to commune with us. But the goodness of God and the gift of the Spirit is this, is that He gives us a heavenly prayer language. And so we can pray to the Spirit. And what does that mean? When we don't know what to say in English, or if you speak French, or if you're from a different part of the world and you speak whatever, Chinese, Japanese, whatever it is, we can all speak the gift of other tongues because it's our personal prayer language. It's our personal heavenly prayer language. And through that, we can minister to our own souls. Did you know the Bible tells us that those who pray in an unknown tongue edify themselves? They build themselves up. Here's what I do. I'll let you into a secret, which is not a secret. I love to do it. I love to pray in tongues all of the time. All of the time. Just praying in tongues. Sunday morning, I'm praying in tongues. I'm right at the front. I'm praying in tongues. Not for everybody else, praying for me. Because I need it. I need God to build me up. I need God to strengthen me. What was the number one thing that transformed my life? Praying in tongues. It just seemed to rewrite the old story in my heart. It seemed to rewrite the old story in my mind. It seemed to trample down the enemy's words. It seemed to just transform and rework some stuff in my neural paths or whatever's going on up here, if there is anything going up on in here. But it seemed to transform things as I would pray in other tongues. And I would just pray. And I would just pray. And the Lord would just minister to me. And Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. In other words, the emphasis is on both things. We should pray lots and all should pray in tongues. We should be filled with the Spirit and we should all pray in tongues. That's what God's heart is. That's what He wants us to do. And as we do that, what do? We build up our spiritual immune system. And when we go into the fiercest of battles, suddenly we're stronger than ever before. When we're in the midst of a battle, we start praying in other tongues and He transforms us. He builds us up. Can I encourage you this morning? If you're not praying in other tongues and you're spirit filled, you need to start praying in other tongues far more. It's your heavenly prayer language. Stop worrying about the public gift. That's a different thing. That's a completely different thing. And if I had time, I would fully explain it to you. But if you need that fully explained, I'm more than happy to take time afterwards or to sit down and do that, or I can send you some stuff. But this heavenly prayer language is for all of us. As we get filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives it to us because God knows our frustration. We want to speak more to Him, but sometimes we run out of words to say. Sometimes we're panicking and we don't know what to pray, but we know we should pray. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. But how do you pray without ceasing when you're not sure what to pray? That's when we pray in the Spirit and we pray in other tongues. And so the Lord is here and He's pouring out. Let me give you one last thing and then we're going to pray this morning. Holy Spirit comes with wonderful gifts. There's prophecy, there's tongues, there's interpretation. The Holy Spirit pours them out as He sees fit. They're not things that we can just make up on our own. The Holy Spirit has to pour that into our lives. Third, three more, healing, faith, miracles. We've seen that in this church over and over again, from people getting saved to buying buildings to seeing miraculous outcomes with money. But God says there's going to be more. And what He wants to do is strengthen the body so we can go for more. Last three things that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, nine gifts, there are more. This is just some that I'm whetting your appetite with today because I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has more. There's the word of knowledge. There's the word of wisdom. There's discerning of spirits. Church, this morning, that word of wisdom, that word of knowledge, God will speak into your life for other people. It will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly things that you did not know, that only He knew and that person knew, you will know, and it will blow them away with God's goodness. Now, what's the heart of the Spirit? It's always for fellowship. What's the heart of God? Love, because God is love. The whole point of the gifts, the whole point of the Holy Spirit is love, to continuously transform you into the sons and the daughters that God has always intended you to be. Because if you know how much you're worth, if you know who you are, then you can be all that God's called you to be. Church, this morning, God wants to pour out his love afresh on us this morning. He wants to pour out his Holy Spirit. Can we stand together?